the Cheeky Investor Podcast. This episode, we are going to take a step back and we're going to be talking about how to get funds so you can actually start investing. This was a request from one of our listeners. And yep. Gareth, it was it's probably pretty obvious and something we should have covered off by now.
I'm disappointed in ourselves. I'm not angry, Phil. I'm just a little bit disappointed. This is a topic that is ripe for us covering because, of course, investing doesn't work unless you've got that money to be able to do it. We have covered, and there is some courses, Phil, we have that relate to personal money and being able to sort out your personal debt and generate money. But I agree for sure. And great call out by one of our cheeky crew who rightly pointed out that, they're getting all the strategies lined up, but where do they get the money to do this? So this week, we're going to go through a couple of main ways to do it. I mean, there's lots of ways to make money, but really what I think we're going to concentrate on is about how can you use where you're at now. You know, we're not going to say go out and buy a business or buy a property, you know, none of that kind of stuff. We're saying, okay, you're where you're at now. How can you use your current resources to make that little bit extra money? And it doesn't need to be a huge amount, but just enough that you can then regularly start to put that into your investing portfolio.
Well, actually, I'll use that as the first one because I get asked a fair bit is how much to save before you invest. People asking, do you need to save $10,000 and then throw that into the market? Is it more than that? Is it less than that? So
yes,
we might kick off and kind of put that together. And originally, I'd probably say maybe $1,000 to $2,000. You'd kind of save that amount and then put it into the market. But that was kind of before Stake came along.
Yeah,
Stake Maker, you know, because before CommSec, particularly if you were international markets, it was kind of $30 to buy a lot of shares.
Yeah,
and that's just one company. If you wanted to buy multiple companies at once, it's going to cost you $30 each kind of parcel. So, you know, if you've got $1,000 and it's $30, it's still 3% fee straight up. Whereas Stake, you can sign up to something. I forget their exact numbers, but it's sort of from memory, it's like $20 a month for enough sort of trades it can do. You can do it sort of monthly. And that can cover a whole heap of different things. So it's kind of $2,000, but you might do that across five different stocks and it's not costing you, five different times. It's just once. So, I'd say, I think, you know, there's nothing wrong with getting started with $100.
Well, this is what I was going to say. Like, is there a minimum? I mean, the minimum, I suppose, is the minimum that you can invest. I mean, in terms of whatever app or whatever platform you use.
Stake is $50.
$50 is the minimum, yeah. So, I mean, you know, I suppose, you know, my takeaway from all our chats, Phil, and what we've sort of been going through, the process that I've been going through in terms of investing is that the more important thing, it's not so much getting that lump sum in. It's actually, firstly, starting to invest. And secondly, it's putting regular amounts of money in. And I know you've spoken about that regularly. It's the real big bonus of investing is you can just regularly put small amounts of money in through compound interest. That money will start to make its own money and sort of start that snowball effect. So to me, the big key is even if it is $100 you're putting in, awesome, put that in. But then next week, make sure you put in another 50 or 100 or whatever, and then the week after, yes, you know, and so on and so on. And that's really where the true benefit of investing comes into play.
So many people just think of, I've got 10 grand, where can I put it to get a better return? But it's way more powerful thinking how you can regularly contribute your investing portfolio every single month.
Yeah, bang on, absolutely. And that's where
it comes from. It's just like, I've got 10 grand, I'm going to invest it in the stock market and then don't think about adding to it again. It's very interesting how we're wired that way.
I think, and this is the problem. It could be something which we could cover actually in a podcast as well. But, you know, I know Robert Kiyosaki talks a lot about financial education and understanding finance. And, you know, he moans at the fact that it's not taught in schools. You know, financial management isn't taught. Everything else is, but you know, no one teaches you how to use your money properly. And there's a lot of truth in that. You know, I think we all are wired probably from movies, maybe from you know, getting, you know, a Christmas bit of money when we're kids, maybe that affects, you know, mentally. Okay. I think there is this kind of psychology around that where we naturally feel more comfortable with lump sums. We don't seem great. Most people aren't great at that slow and steady approach. Most people will say, oh, no, 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 I'd much prefer to get, you know, 10 grand in a single go, as you say, and put it into to something and kind of leave it, instead of going, actually, if I took time over a period of time to invest that, you know, maybe I'll get better returns. But that then creates a habit. And we are really odd creatures, I agree. It's a very odd thing. And I do think it is from, because of a void of proper education, people rely on what they did when they were kids or what movies they've seen or whatever it is. So they think it's better to save your money in a bank account at, you know, 1% interest until you got enough to invest. Whereas we're saying, no, put that money into investments now because you're going to make a lot more money. Like, you just will, you know?
Yeah, but put it as part of, have it as an expense, if you will. The same as you pay your rent or your mortgage, your bills, put one down there for stocks. So that way every time you get paid, just direct debit it into your account almost.
It goes in, yeah. Because what's the saying is, you know, yeah, the best way to do it is to, rather than spend the money and invest the rest, it's invest what you have and then spend the rest. You know, it's again, it's that psyche change of actually front loading money. And as you say, it's like, I've got a gas bill, I've got a credit card bill, or, you know, I've got a gas bill, I've got a mortgage, I've got an investment. That's what it is. It forms part of that natural flow of money that you know is going to go out every week, every month, whatever it is you get paid every 2 weeks. You know that's going to go. So you don't worry about it. You don't think about it. But what that's doing is that's allowing you to quickly grow that investment portfolio and allow that then to be generating the 7, 8, 9, 10, 15, 20% returns that we teach people how to get.
And I encourage people to jump onto a compound return calculator.
Mm.
Jump on there and just plug in some data. You know, if you start with $1,000, then add $100 every month over the next 20 years at sort of 10% return. Just have a look at what that comes out to be. Because once you have a bit more clarity on the end goal, it gets a bit more exciting.
It's well, that's right. It's amazing how it can work. Now, of course, the only thing, we've sort of gone off, as we always do, feel slightly off topic, but it is worth sort of understanding. And again, this is the financial education that we're trying to teach people and the really true great investors understand, which is, you know, compounding doesn't, it's not going to work instantly. This isn't a get rich quick scheme. There's no such fucking thing. They don't exist. No. That's, you know, Midas gold or whatever. But it's actually the return you get is exponentially greater the more often you're putting money in. You know what I mean? That's the return you get from compounding increases massively the longer you're doing something. So it's for example, I think Warren Buffett, if you look at his personal net worth, you know, he was obviously very successful. He was doing very, very, very well up until, I think, is it around kind of 50-ish, 51 or something? And suddenly, bang, the graph just goes off the charts, because it was at that point that he had that enough money that was compounding in itself to generate the really significant amount of wealth that he's built. And now, obviously, he's a billionaire. But that's the really key thing with you know, compounding, is the longer you leave it in there, the longer you're doing it, the much better exponentially you'll get that return out.
So the question is, how do we get some money to...
Okay. Well, how do you want to do this? Will we do, you do one and I do one, and then you do another and I do another?
Sounds good. Let's do 2 weeks.
All right. Ooh, nice. Okay. You go first, because you're excited about this. You go first.
Guys, no, we're not a big fan of the whole cup latte approach. Because I'm pretty sure I'm addicted to coffee. Actually, you are too. You even owned your own coffee cart. You
I had a coffee business, yeah. Yep.
You've had a few. Go on.
I've had a few. You told me to shut down one, and I did. Biggest regret of my life.
Coffee big island, actually. Did you just come over here and you're like, it's a whole new world, and you're just smashing it?
Yes and no. Coffee is like, was there. Starbucks was big, but there was also a pretty big amount. In all honesty, it was Aussies and Kiwis, but there was a big coffee culture. It was no way near what it is here. It still astounds me. We're based in Newcastle, and I swear to God, there's a new coffee shop every 2 to 3 weeks opening. Like, when does it end? At some point, do people go, oh, actually, no, there's enough coffee shops. I don't really want to try this new place. No, they all seem to be busy. So I did notice that the idea of things like coffee all day is a very, to me, was a very Australian thing. So, like, I actually worked with a lot of Aussies and Kiwis. They'd always go out at like 11 a.m. for coffee. And I always found that really odd in London, because you wouldn't do that. Like, you'd get a coffee in the morning before work. Then you'd go to work and you'd either drink the slops in work or you wouldn't have anything. And you definitely wouldn't have one after. Whereas in Australia, it's a much more throughout the day thing. So, you know, you'll go out for lunch, you'll have a coffee, you might grab a coffee in the afternoon. Like, yeah, that was, I suppose, the biggest change for me. There is the quality coffee places in London, obviously. It's, you know, it's everything there. But it was that extent to which people here just, like, live on coffee. Yeah, it's a very different world. But anyway,
it's sort of a loop back to investing. Yeah. That's the kind of research it'd be good to do if you were looking to invest in Starbucks. Having a look at the national coverage and just asking people, you know, that sort of lives outside your country or lived in countries that it's expanded to, what coffee's like and how it's part of the culture. Like, even in Italy, it's a big part of the culture, but Starbucks is almost not existent over there. I think they've got one place in Milan. Really interesting. We'll pull it back in before we do a whole coffee episode.
Yeah, no, I'd happily talk coffee and finance all day long, to be honest, but yeah.
So that's why we tell people not to cut out the latte. It's because we're addicted ourselves and we'll probably be hypocrites. But you get used to, like, a certain life that you have. You get used to a certain way of living, and it's hard to kind of go backwards from that. So what I get people to do is have a look for different opportunities, you know, in their life. And best example I can think of is a place I used to work at. People would park across the road. It was like a 10-meter walk to work. It was $8 a day. And I'd park probably about 10 to 15-minute walk away and kind of walk in, and it was free parking. And $8 is nothing for the convenience, almost, parking next to work. But it's just, again, that compounding word. It's $8 a day, which is over weeks, $40 a week. You know, over a 48 to 50-week year, it's pushing $2,000 worth of parking. So finding opportunities like that, because that doesn't really impact on your lifestyle, it doesn't really have a big impact on the way you're living or your enjoyment. It's just about finding a few wins like that. Other examples, like insurance, about a year ago I had a little one, comprehensive car insurance. I was getting up to like $1,500 a year, which I thought was pretty high, and I took the insurance out when I was like 25, and they still were charging me like I was a 25-year-old or something, which is because clearly I age as per my date of birth when I apply.
You're about 62 now at this stage, I think, Phil.
That is accurate.
Looking well for your age.
And, you know, went online, done a comparison, and come back with $500 and said,
yeah,
I'm done for.
Massive. Absolutely.
That's where the company I was with that quoted me the $500. So I just sent them the number, and yeah, they matched. It was about 45 minutes all up, and it saved $1,000 a year, or that's $20 a week.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. And what you're talking about is stuff that only takes 20 minutes, half an hour. These days, it's actually not that difficult. Besides Telstra, who are evil, every other, generally speaking, every other provider, every other service provider actually has a desire to provide a service, and they realize there's competition. And with the ability now to switch so easily, you know, there is these opportunities. The example I always have, which, you know, I love, is the fact that we got a mortgage when we first moved here 5 years ago. And I went in and basically had a look at that after a couple of years and said, no, I'm sure we could do better than that. And we ended up getting a renegotiated mortgage, which reduced the payment, the monthly payment by, I think it was about $300 or $400, which is, you know, that's a massive difference. Absolutely. And that was, again, that was me just going online. I didn't go through a broker. I just looked myself. I found a deal, and I called them up. I said, look, this is what I'm doing. And they basically handled the paperwork. It was literally very, you know, it was probably all in was maybe an hour or two's worth of actual work. And that's, you know, that savings a huge amount of money. So I agree. There's so many things, so many bills. Have a look at what you're paying.
To do it. We create this big fear of going through all this admin or paperwork or tedious tasks.
Yeah.
It's actually not that bad. Like, yeah, 45 minutes to an hour, but, you know, essentially, I got paid sort of $1,000 for that hour.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, that's right. Well, exactly. And that's the thing. Look at it like that. Look at it like that. It actually is more money in your pocket. It's one of the easiest ways that you can generate money. And the other thing on top of that is look at what you're actually paying for. Like, there's so many people out there, sometimes they don't realize they're, you know, $5 here, $10 there is going towards something. Just check to see what you're subscribed to, because, you know, you may find actually you're subscribed to, you know, a magazine that you stopped receiving 2 years ago, or you're, you know, you're subscribed to a service that, you know, particularly if you're an online business or anything, you know, the amount of apps and tools and software, you may well be actually paying money out that you're literally not getting anything, never mind saving, which is awesome. On top of that, you might find actually, yeah, there's no benefit in me doing this because I'm not getting any benefit from it. I'm just paying out money. So I think there has to be step number one, Phil. I don't know if you agree, but I think before you start doing anything, that's the easiest way to get a gain, to get a return, and to start getting that little bit of extra money. And of course, you know, not to forget that the key here isn't then to go, great, I've got an extra 100 quid in my pocket. Oh, I'm going to buy another bottle of wine, or I'm going to buy another, you know, whatever. It's to actually, you have to be quite strict with yourself, but it's to say, right, yeah, exactly. So it's like, exactly, it's this thing of saying, this is money that I'm going to invest with. That's the key. So I really like that one. The next one that I would bring in is kind of taking it up to the next level. So if you've sort of sorted out your money, you've looked at your mortgage, your service providers, any of the things you're on, you know, have a look. Are you on Disney Plus and Netflix and Stan? You know, really, I don't know, maybe you need to be on those, maybe not. I just question all that stuff. But the next one for me is, again, based around the idea of using what you have, it's looking at opportunities to get extra money through your normal work. So what I mean by that is your 9-to-5 job, whatever that is. How can you generate extra money? So let's say, for example, you're a shift worker, okay? And you're like, yeah, you know what? I'm doing enough shifts. You know, I do my, whatever it is, 5 or 6 shifts a week. Fine. Well, how about you actually said, no, you know what? I'm going to get an extra shift. That one extra shift is my investing shift. So I'm going to do that. And that money purely goes into investment. So what you'll find is, sure, you may be like, oh, I don't have to do more work. But actually what you find is you're working for a goal. You're not just mindlessly working. You're working to generate this pot of money. And once you start seeing that money come in, you'll get a positive, you'll get a positive impact, and you'll actually want to do it more. You'll say, oh, no, I get it. You know, this is kind of simple idea of cause and effect. So you're doing the work, you're getting a reward. It's not just like money you randomly spend on the weekend, and the next week you've got no money left. What you're actually doing is you're saying, great, I'm taking this money. I can look at it in my stock account, in my stake app, in wherever it is. I can look at it and I can see it there and I can see it growing. And that is such a positive thing. Some massive positive mindset approach to money and to building wealth. It's that kind of positive feeling you get from the safety and security of seeing this kind of thing grow from nothing up to you know, being a lot of money. So for me, it's if you're in shift work, could you get another shift? Is that possible? If you've got a, you know, like us, professional job, what opportunity is there for you to get some extra money? Okay, so that, I'm not saying you go to your boss and demand an extra, you know, 10 grand a year. Sometimes it's about having a chat and saying, look, you know, I've put a lot of work in this year. All I'm looking for is, you know, a couple of percent pay rise. Again, from our perspective, it's more about getting the ball rolling. It's not about those massive 10 grand lump sum, massive payouts. That's not what this is about. This is about finding all these ways, all these kind of tentacles around getting money in. And it only needs to be 50 here, 100 there, but soon you might find you get $400 or $500 extra a month. And that's then when you can really begin to build that portfolio. So for me, it's looking at what are your current opportunities? Is it extra shift work? Is it, you know, as I say, going to a job, speaking to your boss about any chance to get extra money, or is it maybe working a bit later? You know, maybe you're in a job where you're a contractor and, you know, you say to the boss, oh, look, I've been doing my 35 or 37 hours or whatever it is. I'm going to do a couple of extra, you know, and that's all agreed. And those extra hours are your investing hours. You take that money and you put it straight into your investing app and you watch that grow. And that gives you a real good buzz and you're saying, sweet, I actually don't mind doing those extra hours. Normally I'd hate it, but I don't mind doing it because I can see the benefit I'm getting. So that would be my first one, is look at what you have.
Yeah, nice. It's funny how people, you know, they say, oh, you know, if I get another job or I do extra shifts, it's only an extra, you know, 20, 25 bucks an hour. I'd rather, you know, have my sanity or time. But I've noticed a lot of people that say that actually just go home and watch Netflix or go home and just kind of do nothing, which is fine. Which, don't get me wrong, that's fine. But you can't have this desire to build significant wealth and then also want to sit down and kind of, you know, not do much outside of your eight hour kind of job. It takes a little bit more effort to build. And I think that's where most of our audience will be. I was going to go on to my second one.
Oh, cool. No, just quickly on that point. I agree. To be honest, it is fine, but they're not the people we're interested in. If you listen to this and you're going, yeah, I don't really want to do a bit of extra work to get a bit extra money. It's like, well, you're not going to build your wealth. All right, mate, like, go ahead and win the lottery. See you later. Like, yeah, you're not people who we can help. We can help people that have a desire to improve their life and change things and build wealth, have those holidays they want, to look after the kids like they want, to treat the family like they want. They're the people that we love because that's who we are. So we kind of relate to those people. There's no point coming on board, yeah, if you're saying, yeah, I'm not really that bothered. I'm just like, I just like listening to podcasts and, yeah, I might go back to my Facebook now. You know what I mean? Cool. Hey, knock your socks off. But, yeah, definitely not our types of people. But anyway, sorry. On to point number two for you.
Yeah, so the second one, it's kind of – it's sort of aligned with yours, but it's a lot more of a long-term focus. And that is flesh out a bit of a career plan. Flesh out what your career kind of looks like and put together a bit of a roadmap on how you can go from where you are now to where you want to be in terms of both, you know, career and sort of income. Because we tend to be sort of reactive or last minute proactive when building careers or, you know, looking to increase income. So just mapping out sort of the next 5 to 10 years, and what you do is you kind of reverse engineer it. So let's say you're in like a team leader or management job and you're in a professional services. It'd be worth even having a look at the CEOs of banks and have a look at the skills and experience and qualifications that they have and just jot them down. And you'll start to see that, you know, they've all probably got MBAs from top universities. They've all got experience in managing money, all got experience in managing staff. And they've all probably got some kind of qualifications around operating on a board and operating with governance and doing that type of stuff. So what I do is take from that is I have a look at opportunities. Like if you're serious about building your career and having the income that comes with that, is looking at, you know, what can I do now? Can I do a part-time MBA or business executive course over the next 5 years? Is there any opportunities within my work or, you know, within other organizations to take on a role where I'm managing staff if you're not doing it already, or if I'm managing a budget? And then starting to tick off these over the next sort of 5 years or so, then you start to build that really sort of impressive resume. Whereas most people tend to kind of react to jobs that kind of come up and they say, yeah, I'll give this one a go. I'll have a look at this sort of area. But if you list things that you want to do in a certain endpoint and you put together a plan, it's going to come together a lot quicker. And the trick with that is obviously you when you increase your income, you invest the difference. You don't increase the lifestyle. You don't increase the expenses. Just straight up invest. Invest the difference.
Love it. Yeah. Tool up. Great. Absolutely. And for, you know, for people that are listening, Phil, you know, none of this is about that get rich quick. None of it is instant gratification. It's all about building something that will continue to deliver for you. So, you know, that pay rise will continue to deliver over years for you. That tooling up, learning up, you know, getting your skill levels up will continue to benefit you over years and years and years. And that's really what it's about. That's the reality of people that are successful. You know, most people, not all, obviously there's some people that, you know, been whatever fortune have managed to get success very young. But if you look at most of the sort of billionaire list of when they became billionaires, I know that's an extreme example, but just as an example, you'll find the majority of them were at least in their 40s, if not 50s when they got there. So there was this whole process that happened before, up to then. Sure, people will come back and go, what about Kylie Jenner, or whatever that bloody nod is online. Yeah, fine. Those are unique examples, but she sells her soul every day on Instagram. So if you really want to be someone that wants to sell your soul on Instagram, that's cool. But, you know, I think most people aren't going to be able to do that. And also her sisters and her mom made her famous. Anyway, so I think that's really cool. I think that's a really good point. And that's probably just something generally. We always say, you know your market, know yourself, know your stuff. Know yourself is about, like, it is about education. It's about sort of teaching yourself. It's about learning. We're massive into that. You know, that's why we do what we do, because we want to teach people how to improve themselves, give them the skills they can use anywhere at any time to generate money to benefit themselves. So awesome. I think that's a really, that's probably the one of the main ones I'd say is tool up and then use that to grow yourself in terms of getting a new job or, you know, moving up in your current job or whatever it is. I think so the final one, which I bring in is one that's is a little bit more instant, but still requires work. And that is using your time. So there's this whole thing of, you know, time and time and money. When most people start a business or start out in their jobs, when, you know, they first go into a job, you give all this time. You're not getting paid much, but you give a huge amount of time. You work late, you do all the jobs you need to do to kind of move yourself up. And then slowly over time, that weighing scales begins to change. So you find then you're getting more money and you're needing less time to do it. So for me, it's, you know, when you're in a position of you don't have huge amounts of money, well, if you've got huge amounts of money, you generally can get a lot more time because money will give you time. But if you don't have that money, what you have, hopefully, is time. And if you do have time, use that time wisely. So maybe hop off Netflix, you know, don't look at social media. Go out, hop on Airtasker, you know, go to someone's house, cut their lawn. You know, you get paid to do that. You get an Uber, you know, or OLA or whatever the rideshare sort of facility is. Go out and do that. Look for these sorts of odd jobs that, you know, don't probably require really a huge amount of brain power, but the things that can pay instantly. So you can instantly get paid, particularly on Airtasker. You go on, you can sign up to do something, you can instantly get paid. Now, it's not going to be that continual amount of money, but it's a slightly different one in the sense that it's, again, it's using what you have. And for a lot of people, they have time, even though they think they don't have time. Most people have a lot more time than they realize. So use those hours when you're not working, say, during the week, to hop in a taxi and go out and drive and do that.
One of the best examples ever is that when I was in Melbourne, and if you've been to Melbourne, going from the airport to the city, it's a good 40 minutes and $50 or $60 in an Uber. The guy that the Uber driver said he lives out in the airport, so he'll do he'll take someone into the city in the morning, and he'll take someone to the airport in the afternoon. Makes about an extra $100, depending on surge pricing, $100 and $120 a day. Just by doing his normal route to and from work.
Brilliant.
It's just little simple wins. I know that's probably on the extreme that everyone has that opportunity, but just even thinking like that is so powerful.
Absolutely. Awesome. That's a great example. So instead of him sitting in his car listening to the radio and spending money on petrol, he's making money. And that's not a small amount of money. Like, even if it's $80 a day, that's still over a week adds up to be a lot of extra money for doing what you're doing. Brilliant. And that's what it is. It's the online, you know, on online businesses, the development of these, you know, of the gig economy, and there's good and bad to it, but certainly one of the big pluses of the gig economy is if you're willing and able and you want to, there is opportunity to make money anywhere. There really is. I mean, if you want to, you can translate for rev.com of an evening, sit down and do, you know, an hour worth of translation and get paid to do that. You can do data entry. You can, you know, do, you know, do Facebook likes, whatever. You can hop onto Airtasker and, yeah, as I say, clean someone's windows or clean someone's car. People want, and more people want services done for them. So there is, there's unlimited, more or less, opportunities for you in your area to make money without having to really change anything. And that's an awesome example of someone here. That's they've got the head screwed on. They figured that out. So how could you use your current time to you know, make money in some way? Definitely worth thinking. And I think that's, you know, for me, is that sort of slightly quicker win. So if you just want to get a bit of money generated quickly, you can do that. But really, it's not that difficult. Yeah, the websites, Fiverr.com, Airtasker, and as I said, yeah, obviously, the rideshare apps. Airbnb is the other one. So if you've got a spare room, or you've got a granny flat in your back garden, or you've got a two-story house and you've got a basement or something, I know people that have done it, and you know, I've got friends that one guy made $14,000 over 5 weeks, which again is an extreme example of how Airbnb works. But that was over the time of a particular event in Newcastle, here where we're based. And yeah, so that was, I mean, that more than pays for your holiday. You know, that that helps to pay off his mortgage. So that's, I mean, that's serious money. But the point is, you can make this money. It's out there. And that's what's awesome about the online world. It allows you to tap into people anywhere in the world and help them out, and they'll pay you.
It's good stuff. Simplicity and just micro steps. I think that's kind of the summary of the sort of discussion.
I agree. I think, yep, it's about doing what you can over a long period of time. And that's always, again, it goes back to the investing thing is people go, oh, yeah, I'm going to chuck half my pay packet into investing. Yeah, that won't last that long. I mean, you have to be realistic. You know, we're not saying use whatever's left after you've gone out and had a couple of big nights. We're saying actually sit down, plan it out, figure out how much money you can give to these things, and then go, right, how can I get more money and purely money to invest? And that's it. Do that for, you know, I'm going to even say a year. Not that long, really, in the scheme of things. If you did that for a year, I think you'd be quite astounded. Hop on, as Phil says, a compound interest calendar. Look at what you can actually make in a year. You'll be, what's the quote I always really fuck up? You can do more than you think. No, what does it feel? I can't remember.
Wherever you reckon Warren Buffett's from.
Yeah, the fucking Idaho of Omaha. Go on, tell me. What's the quote? I love it.
I'll reference Tony Robbins because that's where I heard it from.
It's not Tony Robbins.
He invented everything.
It's the Dalai Lama. He invented words.
It says people overestimate what they can achieve in a year, but underestimate what they can achieve in a lifetime.
Bang, bang, bang.
We always have big goals. We're like, oh, we're going to do this. We're going to smash this year. 2020 is going to be my year. And then we don't achieve it. And then we kind of fizzle out and do nothing. Whereas we don't set big audacious goals over a long period of time.
Yeah, I like it. No, that's bang on. And look, that doesn't have to be over a lifetime. It can be, you can say, you know, in a year I will achieve something, you know, instead of saying in a week I'm going to do this, or in 6 months I'm going to save, you know, 100 grand. That's kind of not realistic. Say, okay, over 12 months, what's my kind of, you know, medium sort of target or short term? Over 5 years, where do I want to be? And over 10 years, you know, it doesn't. So when you break it down that way, you actually, it can feel better because you think, oh, in a year I can earn this amount of money. You know, and really 12 months isn't that long, as opposed to saying, yeah, hey, I'm going to go out and I'm going to, you know, use, all my extra money is just going to go into investing. It won't last long. You'll get pissed off and you'll end up taking the money out because you have to pay something because you ended up doing something or, you know, whatever. So I would say definitely look at that and just have that idea in your head. It's about regular amounts of money, not a single lump sum.
Good, good.
All right. Cool. So I think that's everything covered. Anything else, Phil? Do you want to add anything more to that?
No, I think we summed it up well at the end. Opportunity, yeah, cool. Micro commitments, long-term vision.
Nice. Very nice. Bang, bang, bang. Love it. Look, thank you all so much for listening. Hopefully there's some ideas in there. You're not just thinking, oh, God, that's bullshit. I was expecting them to give me an ebook that tells me how I can put $10,000 in my PayPal account without doing anything. Yeah, unfortunately, that stuff doesn't exist.
That'll work for us. If you just put money into our PayPal account, then we
can... Oh, yeah, if you do it the other way around, we'll help you feel better. That's right. We'll tell you how great you are. thank you all for listening, as always. And don't forget to check out cheekyinvestor.com. Our website's heaped full of stuff. There's a whole load of new blogs on there, really interesting, relevant stuff. There's huge amount of videos and training. There's all our programs. It's definitely the place to go. So hop onto our website, cheekyinvestor.com. And obviously, if you're enjoying the podcast, send us a comment, get onto our Facebook group, Cheeky Investor, and just get in contact. And obviously, if you've got some suggestions for a podcast as well, just like this one, get in touch and we'll see what we can do. So thanks all for listening, and we'll catch you next time.